You're listening to the good.
Don't call me Paino.
The bad.
Absolute.
And the rugby.
Folded like a deck chair.
With Paino, Lord, and the Husk. I don't know what that means.
Hello, everybody, and a very warm welcome to The Good, The Bad, and The Rugby with me, Alex Payne. It's a very warm welcome to all those of you who are watching and listening as per usual. Good to be back in the earballs. But it's a particularly warm welcome to the thousands of us and you who are joining in on our Zoom this week. It's a live show, as live as we possibly can be at this stage with all the grotty news that surrounds us at the moment. But it's very nice to have a live audience of sorts, and they're firing into it in the sidebar chat already. So we might bring one or two of you in as we go, and we're going to be doing a Q&A with you a little bit later on as well. So thank you for joining. It is very nice to have your support with us. If you have ever seen us on stage before, you'll know that it gets a little bit frilly at the edges, a little bit loose at times. Thank God Jiffy isn't with us on this show, because I'm not sure how much of it would go to air.
We'd be dead and buried by the morning.
Yeah, exactly. That would be Ofcom all over us like a cheap suit. But it's very nice to have, as per usual, two men very used to performing in front of a crowd. Hask, not in that fashion. So just keep it clean this evening. Hask and Tins, ladies and gentlemen. This is where I want these buttons where I can press canned laughter and applause. We are going to invest in that, I think, as we go. 42, Michael, and not looking a day over 50, which is a hell of an achievement. How was your birthday?
Spent my whole life trying to catch up to my age with my face. My face has looked 50 from when I was 20, so I'm finally catching it up. No, it was good. It was good. Obviously, had a massive party, loads of people around for dinner. You know, we had Tiger there, Jamie Dornan, Rebel Wilson, William and Kate, Hask. It was a bit awkward about halfway through when I realised cardboard cutouts don't actually fire back questions at you. So,
did anyone give you a cardboard cutout?
It just meant that I got to drink quite a lot of wine myself, so... Woke up in the morning and took me to rugby down at Minch, so that was how I celebrated my day, and then a lot of snoozing on the couch, so sort of letting the 2020 birthday pass me by, really, because it's been a pretty shit year, so let's not celebrate it.
That sounds full steam ahead to middle lane to middle age, really, doesn't it? I mean, no frills at all. Did you get enough presents?
I haven't received my present from my wife yet. She did get me a pair of shoes, but I know there is something coming, so I don't know when it is coming, but... Well, I'll find out what it is then.
Did I not see you astride something?
So she put that picture on Instagram.
To make her look like an incredible wife, but...
Yeah, literally, loads of her friends were like, you bought him a motorbike? And she's like, no, that's just the picture I chose to use because it had all three of us in. I was like, oh, sweet. I walked into the garage. Nothing there. She didn't buy me a motorbike. She would have definitely been locked in for forever with that. Even though she pretty much is anyway.
Is she not locked
before
in now?
Before she could possibly be outside the door, listening in and come in and slit my throat. But so it's in the pipeline. I'll let you know when it comes out. I think I know what it is.
Lord Hoffington's, what car crashes have you been enjoying of late? What have you been doing?
I launched a new podcast and I want a flanker.
Podcast number 42, if you haven't.
My book went into Times bestsellers list again for a second week. Exhausting.
Believe you've teed him up for just shameless promotion on our platform.
That's all I got. I went and did a mad barbecue thing the other day, actually, with some vegan-friendly food, which I never thought I would do. But
how did that come about?
Well, obviously, if they can convert me, because I spend most of my time taking the piss, you know, with our vegans, if they thought they'd convert me, and it was unbelievable. It's kind of called the unbelievable alt, and I had that. It was quite nice.
Did they convert you with aubergine or with cash?
you do the maths. I mean, there's obviously a first-time listener in
here. It was green anyway. Let's just put it that way.
There's a first-time listener in here who, as soon as I started speaking, was going, boring. Mate, if you don't like the self-promotion, you might as well log out now. In fact, I'll pay you your £10 back because I'm making a fortune out of the book. But chin up, sir.
Stop it. It's just so painful.
It really is. So what other news? Anything exciting that we don't know about or haven't covered before we get into it with our guests this evening? Are we sort of enjoying where we're at the end of the season? We're going to obviously talk all things Heineken Champions Cup, but we've got Autumn Nations Cup coming around the corner. We've got lots going on with us, which we'll come to a little bit later on. But are we seeing a way out of the current mess that we're all in, or are we kind of still treading water?
I'm just sort of a little bit confused with everything. I don't you know when you sort of know where you are in the year by how things are going? I've got no clue. Don't have sort of clue when the games start again. You watch the finals over here on the weekend and no crowds and boys having celebrating probably the best moments of their lives and not, there's just been no atmosphere. And then obviously you watch the Bledisloe Cup, 43,000 people in there and you're just hearing that atmosphere and how the boys play. And I'll shut up now because the man's joined us.
It's a very warm welcome to Captain Scrum Cap himself. I'm going to use your full title, actually. Heineken Champions Cup winner, Mr. Jack Noel. How are you?
How are you doing, guys? I'm not too bad, thank you.
I'm amazed that you are upright, awake, and happy to come and have a chat, which is very, very good of you.
It's running on silent.
The fire pussy, says someone. Where are you on
the straight in, isn't it? Jesus.
Yeah, well, you know. Sorry. That's how we roll. Where are you in the week, in yourself? How are we feeling?
We are on a Tuesday. Yes.
Excellent.
Second training day. Yeah, second training day today, mate. Do you know what, it's been good. We had a pretty good night Saturday night, to be honest. A few of the boys went pretty hard on Sunday, but I don't think it's going to be anything compared to what we've got planned at this weekend, to be honest.
So, was it a good old school bus trip back?
But it was only at Bristol, so we're only on the bus for about an hour, but it felt like we were on the bus for about 5 hours, the amount of piss we drank.
Supercharged. Is everyone sort of accounted for at the moment, or are there one or two who are AWOL?
No, we're all in. We had an optional training day on Monday, but to be fair to the boys, everyone turned up. There's a few glassed eyes and red eyes and a few foggy throats and stuff. But
Is that just the coaching staff? Just you and your mate Rob?
I think the coaching staff went harder than we did, to be honest. But no, we know we've got a pretty big weekend this weekend as well. So, you know, we went probably about 50% on Saturday and on Saturday night and Sunday. So hopefully we can go 400% full extra style Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week.
Do you think if Exeter were to take on any other Premiership team in a drinking competition as well, you would win that as well as potentially win the Premiership in the European? You'd outdo them.
Mate, we'd be up there. I think our boys have gotten used to, whether they like it or not, drinking a lot because we're so far down. You know, every single away trip, it's on that bus. You know, when you're looking at Sale Sharks away, Northampton away, you're on that bus for a good 4 or 5 hours. So it's unbelievable the amount of alcohol that is consumed, not just by the players, but from the coaching staff as well. So I think we'd be up there with that as well, to be honest.
Has anyone located Johnny Hill yet? He must have seen it out somewhere, hasn't he?
I don't think Johnny Hill knows where he is yet. He's been training today, but his body was there, but I don't think his mind was there.
That's a normal day, isn't it, with Johnny?
Hey, man, he deserves it, the way he played at the weekend. Well, the way he's played all season, to be honest. But I think, to be honest, the way the squad's turned up, we're quite hungry to do the double this year. So, you know, we did have a good time. We did enjoy ourselves. But come tomorrow, we'll be back 100% back into rugby.
Good on you. Back to the media handbook. Just before we get too far into the media handbook and how every game comes one at a time and all that nonsense, there's so much to talk about last weekend. Just quickly, what do you do in a voluntary training session on a Monday? Is that basically just a test of who turns up and you will roll around on the grass a little bit and go home? Or did you actually get into it?
Mate, I don't train Mondays, so I'm not too sure.
like Michael Jordan, take the contract.
As Hask knows, mate. No. I think, to be honest, mate, I think the boys just play football. There was a few running drills set up, but you know the coaches know the crack, and they know what was expected from us and what they could get out of the boys. So we had a pretty light gym session and a bit of a sweat, a bit of football, a bit of fun, get smiles back on faces again, and run the elk out of our legs.
And there was a huge outpouring of love for you as you won the trophy. There is a real affinity with what you guys have done and the journey you've been on as a club as a whole. How are you feeling now? What are we, 72 hours on from the final? It was an extraordinary end to the game. But how are you feeling now? You know, is it settled in? Has it been quite emotional?
Yeah, I think settling in is surreal. Like, I still say to the boys today, like, we've won the Heineken Cup. Like, it's so weird to think that we've done it as a team. We've got to a final, let alone to win one as well. So, like, that's not really sunk in yet. I don't think we've allowed it to sink in as well because we know that we've been training this week. It's so weird to go from final to final. But again, a bit, you know, media handbook as well. But we've kind of let ourselves down in the final as well in the Premiership. So we want to win that, definitely. But in terms of the emotion and stuff, I think you can see it on the field. There's a sense of relief. You know, there's a lot of things riding on the fact that we've lost so many finals before. I think we've only won one. So to get that far and then to lose again, you know, it would have been gutting for us. But I think the relief came out, the enjoyment, the, you know, the happiness for the boys was there. And you could just tell how hard we worked. You know, it wasn't the prettiest game. We knew we could play better than that. But then today, the result was the result. And, you know, we come away with the trophy. You know, we're absolutely buzzing with that. But I think you can see in the boys' faces after, you know, there's tears, there's smiles. I think Rob got a bit choked up as well in a few interviews after. But you could just see how much it meant to the boys and the team.
We had Eddie Jones on here, Jack, and he basically said that he felt the team that was going to be the most successful this season was the one that could play without the crowd, that could play with, just played for each other. Do you think that's why Exeter continually do so well? Because first of all, you just love playing for each other and just enjoy it so much.
I think 100%. I think, you know, a lot of our boys feel that, you know, the crowd's been there. We miss the crowd. It's awesome. It's completely different playing there without anyone watching. You know, to play at Bristol at the weekend, like, I can imagine what that place would have been like in that final if that was full. Mm-hmm. You know, the Toulouse game in the semi-final at Sandy Park, like, I couldn't imagine how loud that would be. But there's nothing we could do about it. It is what it is. You know, we all hate it, but we kind of got to get on with it. And like you said there, I think it's down to a lot of the boys aren't too fussed to what people think of us outside, about what the media thinks or anything like that. But, you know, the way we come in on Monday morning, if we can look each other in the eyes and we know that we've given our all for the weekend, which we definitely did this weekend, that means so much more than anything. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, you're going to come away with a result as well. That's kind of the way we've all been brought up, we've been playing. You know, as long as you're giving it your all, you're giving 100%. You know, it's very easy to say that, but are you actually doing it? But definitely, I think that's what it's come down to the way we've performed after the lockdown and stuff.
Did you have a little hospital bed at Allen the Lions tour post that evening? Because I just wondered, because the best I've ever seen you is the dishevelled lid, shirt ripped open, wild eyes. Is that more next week, or did it appear this week?
No, it hasn't appeared yet, mate.
Okay.
The hospital bed will be waiting for me at Sandy Park on Saturday night, okay? Because that's where I plan on staying in there for about 2 nights as well, right? So I'll have to stick with Rory.
Because obviously since we've been last on this show, you've had another baby, and obviously you admitted, assuming that your missus doesn't listen to this, that you spend a lot of your time hiding in the gym and your missus can't work out while you're lifting weights for 24 hours at a time. So, I mean, obviously...
I've upped my game, mate.
What, you're doing
what, in the gym or at home?
No, you're not going to believe this. Like, I love my kids and stuff, but I've actually got myself a hyperbaric chamber now.
So you sleep in there as well. So you just spend all the time in the gym and then you sleep in your hyperbaric chamber. No one's allowed to see you.
So the gym's taking a back seat now. So I do a lot of that at the club, obviously. But now I've got the hyperbaric chamber. You know, I picked up a niggle against Toulouse. So I said, look, babe, you're not going to believe this either. But I said, look, babe, I've got 2 weeks now. I've got two of the biggest games of my life. I need to recover. I need to be in there at least 3 times a day for 1 hour and 15 minutes. Morning, lunch, as soon as I come home, and night time. She's like, fine. But she's actually gone back down to Cornwall now for a week and left me up here by myself with the kids and with the dogs. Two reasons. One, because obviously I'm very dedicated to these two games and I want to get myself, you know, 100% right. And two, she said that there's no way I'm being in this house on Saturday night, on Sunday, on Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday when you're hungover, because it'll be like looking after 3 kids. So she's packed the bags and she's gone down to Cornwall for a week.
is that hyperbaric chamber? Is that the hyperbaric chamber that Johnny May's got? Similar setup? Because, yeah, you know, I saw that and I was like, obviously the green-eyed monster came out and I followed them and I was like, oh, sweet, you know, and they messaged me back, James, if you'd like to, come down to our headquarters and check out the hyperbaric chamber, you're welcome to. And I looked at where it was. I was like, oh, hey, it's miles away. I'm not doing that, right? But because obviously I thought originally they might offer me one. I went round to Dylan Hartley's house the other day. He's hiding in one for 1 hour and 15 minutes 3 times a day. They'd given it to him. And I honestly walked up and I was like, my whole like kudos is just completely vaporized. No one's handing me anything for free. I was gutted. So if you're another one, I can't believe it. They're just handing these things out left, right and centre to obviously decent current players.
You might still have been playing Hask if you'd have had one. Maybe you weren't that professional.
Maybe I wasn't. Do you know the difference with it, Jack?
In terms of like swelling and stuff, I do like my sleep. So I also use the sauna quite a bit and I love the sauna. I love the heat. So at the moment, I've been going from that to that and I'm sleeping like a baby. Even with the little one in bed with us as well, I'm not waking up during the night or anything. So I'm out like a light. But just because in terms of where I am, where I picked up my injury against Toulouse, like, you know, time wasn't on my side, to be honest. So I was trying to literally tick every box I could to play these two games.
What does it do, the hyperbaric chamber, for the uninitiated, the unintelligent?
You want to take it, Ask?
No, well, I don't know. I just saw it and I was like,
it's oxygen content.
It's basically oxygen content.
It's like when deep sea divers go down, you're living in pure oxygen rather than having anything else. And it's supposed to help healing and flushing your body with pure oxygen.
Increasing red blood cells. And it's meant to, you know, speed up healing quite drastically.
It's also great for hiding when you've got kids. There's a little screen that only the clear screen. Asleep, and then as soon as they're up, you can get your phone out. Just don't drop your guts in one, because that'll, because you can't.
You'll need it more for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday by the sound of it. That's what I was going to really go into.
Well, mate, that's what I was thinking as well.
On a serious note, obviously with the niggle you picked up on in Toulouse, how much did that play on your mind last week? Were there any doubts that you wouldn't have been fit for the weekend, or were you pretty sure all the way through? Because it can affect how you go into a game and how confident you are. But obviously, you looked massively confident through the game. But was there any doubt during the week?
Yeah, mate. If I'm perfectly honest, there was a lot of doubt. I've done a grade 3 turf toe.
What's that?
The ligaments that pretty much attach your toe to your foot, I've managed to rupture them all, unfortunately. So I did it in the last 10 minutes against Toulouse. I was just literally up on my toe about to push off. And as I pushed off, someone tackled me as well. So basically your foot I thought I snapped the bottom of my boot. So I got on the floor and I checked my boot and my boot was fine. But it was actually the ligaments under my foot, which actually snapped. But, you know, I've seen our physios, I've seen our doctors and stuff. And it's weird to think, but they said you can't do any more damage. I'll get it fixed maybe in a couple of weeks. But that was probably the best thing about it, was the fact that because they were snapped, I didn't have a lot of pain. They said if I did a grade 1, a grade 2, I'd be in a lot more pain. Because I actually snapped them, it was just kind of a pain and thing. And if I could get through it in a week and a half, I'll be able to play.
If you win on Saturday, you won't need an anaesthetist anyway. Yeah, fine. No way. Straight in.
I'll ask if I can watch.
what is the impact of that then? I mean, if you like a floppy toe, so to speak, what hampering does it do to you?
Pretty much a floppy toe. I haven't really got any drive off my big toe. It's unbelievable. So I've done my thumb and now I've done my toe. And like before, if I said that, I'd be like, oh, it's only a thumb, it's only your big toe. You know, it'd be fine, you don't need it. But I didn't realise how much you use your big toe, how much you use your thumb. It's so awkward, it's so ridiculous. Like when they told me I did it, I was like, oh, it's all right, it's only my big toe, it's fine. But like the amount of pressure and force that you put through your feet and your toe is ridiculous. So now I know firsthand, I'm like, I'm not going to be able to carry on like this. But like we said before, like this Heineken Cup final is a Premiership final. Like there was no way I was going to miss these games. So that's a prime example why I've got my hyperbaric here for a couple of weeks.
What, Heineken Champions Cup?
Is that why you gave the ball inside? Is that why you gave the ball inside rather just running it in yourself on the intercept?
Wow, like, I did think I could.
You're telling me it's taken a bit of toe off. Hey, a bit of toe off you.
Well, maybe I would have stepped on the inside, but Slady was screaming, so I didn't want to upset him.
Can I ask you, Exeter and the South West is about the only place in the country where you can still sort of go out and see daylight at the moment. What has the reaction been back home down in Cornwall? Have you had sort of recognition? I mean, I imagine the Devon Times has gone bananas, but what sort of pickup has it had down there?
To be honest, I've not been out. A lot of boys have been out. You know, we kept it very, in-house on Saturday where we had a drink on the bus and stuff. So we've not really been out or anything. You know, the weirdest thing is the boys are petrified to go out because we get tested on a Tuesday and then we get a text on a Wednesday whether you've got COVID or something or whether you've got... No, you might not even have any symptoms or anything, so... You can catch it doing whatever. So boys are actually petrified to go out at the moment because that's the last thing that anyone wants is to miss these two games. So it's kind of been, for us, it's been training, home, you know, home deliveries for food. We've completely locked down the wives and girlfriends and kids. So prime example, while my missus has gone down to Cornwall as well, you know, wives and girlfriends are going absolutely mental at the boys at the moment. But, you know, there's so many different side effects and stuff like that. But, you know, we're finding a lot of players are getting it but not having a lot of symptoms or anything. So, you know, to be told that you've got this virus and you're not allowed to play, even though you don't think there's anything wrong with you, is the frustrating bit. So the things the boys are doing are just staying in at the moment. You know, we've got one more week to do it now. Well, we actually got tested today. So, you know, hopefully we get our results back tomorrow and it's all good. And then we can hopefully, you know, if we stay lockdown free down here, we can get out of it.
On that, you're just hoping you've got an opponent at this rate because obviously they're living through it in the worst scenario possible. Have you talked about that at all, or is it just get on with getting our minds right to whatever happens and we'll take whatever as it comes?
It's pretty similar to what happened with us boys against Bath. Obviously, we were playing, either Sale, Bristol or Bath in our Premiership semi-final. So it was very much like we didn't have a clue who we were playing. I don't think the boys knew who they're playing until Wednesday morning. Again, that's very similar to us now. So it's two opponents, two different teams. They're very different in how they play. So what we said in the semi-final when we actually came against Bath, but without knowing, we just said, look, we're going to say our moves. We're going to stick to them. And then, you know, hopefully it comes off. But like that's the only thing you can really do is concentrate on yourself, concentrate on the moves that you think might work against, you know, both teams. And then when we do find out tomorrow who we're playing, then, you know, we might change it a little bit. But, you know, it shouldn't change too much.
Do all clubs go through the same testing? So does every will Wasp got tested today and find out their result tomorrow? Does it work all the same?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, there's a report out this morning that they said that a few more members of the playing staff or playing group had been infected, and they were obviously waiting on the test tomorrow. And I think there's obviously the threshold is. I think they've been tested today and they've got to find out tomorrow perhaps whether any more is going to come out and what the story is with the game. Because that's essentially, I think, what happened with you guys, wasn't it? With Sale lot obviously having to pull out. So, Jack, I've just got a question for you. Obviously, there's a great picture of you video timing. I assume it was your family. Yeah. Is it true that you were video timing your dad saying, I told you, Dad, I shouldn't have joined the fishing business. Fucking a Heineken Cup champion winner. Was it something like that? Or am I paraphrasing?
Heineken Champions Cup.
Oh, go away, Paino. Nobody cares.
Can we mute Paino? We get such a noise.
So I FaceTime my missus and my little one. They're still up. She watches the game, so she was quite excited. And I actually was at the time FaceTiming my parents. And as far as my conversation went with my old man, it was actually, I was from FaceTime to my mum, and my old man popped on the camera for about 2 seconds, poked his head in. I could see how pissed he was from his red eyes. And as far as our conversation went was, well done, boy. And off he went again.
Amazing.
Amazing.
I love that.
I could tell he was buzzing, you know, he was mad a few words, but most of my family all live together at home, so they're all together watching the game, which was pretty cool.
When it was getting to, obviously, there's parts of the game where kind of, you know, when that gap sort of narrowed.
Before you dive in, can we go through like a bit of a chronology of the week? Because it is the biggest week in the history of a very proud club, and it's a remarkable sort of final destination, I suppose, it's not final destination, but you've conquered the greatest mountain. Hask, we'll come back to that point, but when did you find out you were going to be fit? How sweaty was it? What did you need to do for Rob to say, or for Baxter, should I say, to give you the all clear?
He's still not had a go at me for saying that yet. I don't know if you've seen it. So I didn't train on Monday. So obviously I played the Toulouse game, knew I did my toe on the 70th minute, played the last 10 minutes, and I was just like, hopefully it's not too bad. I had all my scans and stuff on the Monday, so I wasn't training. Then obviously we were playing Bath that week, so I had all that week off, just trying to get the swelling down, trying to get the pain as minimal as possible. And then the coaches basically said I need to do a little bit of training on Tuesday, just to try and prove myself that I can run, that I can still do stuff. So I actually trained a little bit on Tuesday. Wednesday, I didn't train. Then Thursday, we had a day off. Friday, we had a light team run. And then, I put my boots back on for the Saturday. But they gave me every possible chance of playing. You know, our physio is a class at the club. So they gave me every chance of playing. And I obviously did everything I could to play as well. So, you know, it was a very minimal week. And I wish every single week was like that, because I absolutely loved it. And I felt so good going into the game. But, you know, it's not quite like that. But, you know, the coaches gave me my chance and, you know, to play in this game. And as much as I loved being in it, if I was not to try and push myself and not to be involved in that game, you know, I don't think I would ever have forgiven myself after watching the boys winning and, you know, not being part of that. I would never been able to forget that. So, no, I was very happy that I was trusted, and I was very happy I was able to play.
You guys are very good at feet on the ground and not getting ahead of yourself, but even so, the week of a Heineken Champions Cup final, was there a different feel around the club?
Not really, to be honest.
Keeping your feet on the ground, obviously.
Yeah. I was going to say, was there any... I hate it because the media will have definitely brought it up about the finals thing. So was there any... Did Baxter sort of bring that up, the fact of, that you'd lost finals, or was that purely driven by media like it normally is? You were just right,
yeah,
we're just going to progress through this way.
Yeah, 100% driven by media. No, we don't... Rob Baxter and Ali, they're all very, very, you know, they're very positive the way we talk. You know, if we were talking about, you know, all the finals we've lost, Like, we're straight away, we're thinking about all the negative things that have happened. The way we were wording it all week, and players were wording it as well, as we kind of said this from the start of the season, that we're going to win both trophies. So that was kind of put all the way through the season. And it was very much about the experience that we'd gained over the last few years of being in these finals, you know, losing, but being in these finals. You know, Joe Simmons played 3 years ago. He was, you know, 21 years old. We had a 21-year-old scrum half as well. But these boys now have played for 4 or 5 years. Their experience, they know what it's like, they know what it takes to win big games. We don't have to change anything. We know what we do is good. We know what we do works. So that's what we just basically were talking about. And, you know, like we said, the moment we start changing during the week, we've done that before where we thought we've had to do stuff different to what we normally do. And we get absolutely dicked. We lose games, and that's not what it's meant to be like. So, like, the week was very relaxed. Meetings were the same. Luke Cowan-Dickey, you could tell, was very, very excited the night he talked, but he talks about all the time. But I think we went into that game in a perfect position. You know, the Bath game was very, very hard the week before, but that kind of set us up for this week.
Does anybody in your squad do nerves? Actually, because Stuart Hogg came on the other day.
Johnny Gray.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. I've never, ever seen anything like it.
Go on.
He is one of the best players that I've played with. Like, he's so good. Like, you look at him, he's like, there's no way you're going to be a good rugby player. But he is class. He's been so good for us. The guy, to be fair, I was doing a swimming session with him today, obviously because we didn't train, but we did a swimming session with him today, and he cannot swim either. That was hilarious. That's a different story.
Like driftwood.
But he stonefish, I was calling him. but he is very, very nervous for the game, and everything's got to be perfect. Like, he'll do his line out tape 4 or 5 times. He'll get the physios to strap his shoulders, and it'll be a perfectly good strap. And they've spent 10 minutes doing it. He'll go into the change room, not feel right, take it all off. He'll be back in the physio room then, getting strapped up again. And it's got to be perfect. But, like, he kind of backs it up on the field with, I don't know what the stat is, but he hasn't missed a tackle in, you know, 20 or whatever years. but I've never, ever played with anyone, even anyone in England or anyone at club level either. Like, no one, I've never, ever seen do anything like that before.
What about, like, Sinclair? Surely Sinclair with the more heat and the...
More heat!
Trying to get massaged every 5 minutes. Sinks is a bit like that, even though he trash talks his way through it. But Johnny Gray's even worse, is he?
Sink does it. He's very loud when Sink does it. He's screaming, and, like, I can't help but laugh when I hear Sink shouting like that, because it's just, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what noise comes out of his mouth, but it's hilarious. But Johnny does it very quietly, very discreetly. You can just see him sat there. He's strapping up his legs. He's like, no, doesn't like it, untakes it, unstraps it again, does it back up, and you can see him, like, nod to himself. He's like, yeah, happy with that one. And he'll go onto his thumb or something, and it's just like... But it's brilliant. He keeps himself to himself, but, you know, for me, I'm pretty chilled, and I like to watch things like that.
Vince, who was the worst of your lot for that pre-match faffing? Not the fun bus. He read the papers.
No, definitely not the fun bus. He didn't even go out and warm up half the time. Greenwood was bad. He had lucky socks, lucky T-shirt. Everything had to go on in a specific order when he got changed. He didn't speak to anyone. He looked like he was going to have a cardiac arrest at any moment. So he hated me jumping around in front of him. But Wilco was just silent. But Greenwood was probably, he was bad.
Do you guys find it off-putting when you see people being dragged out of their comfort zone in those environments, or do you just let them get on with it?
I don't think you can get involved. You have to, obviously it's a development time. Once you spend enough time like Jackass with the lads, you know everyone's drivers and what they need to get right. So then you just got to allow them to facilitate that. And it's the same with you going around the rooms. If I was in the Gloucester room and Hazy was there, I know he's the emotional driver with it, Bucko. They'll drive the emotions. Then you've got someone else who you might need to just pick up a little bit, or they'll be quiet, or they'll do their own thing. And it's just reading all the people and giving them what they need. So with a team like Exeter, who are such good friends, you get to know that pretty quickly, and everyone just gets on.
I've got to know Hoggy pretty quickly as well after listening to him for you guys a couple of weeks. I hope the Scotland team give him serious shit when he gets there. He's changed. Johnny Gray says he's changed a lot.
Go on, in what way?
You've not seen the highlights in his hair? He's
I've seen the hair full stop, but
why would you highlight the bit that's been injected into your skull? That's what I don't get.
Because he's excited to have it back.
It doesn't stop there, though. He's got the highlights. He's got the socks down now, which he likes doing. I hope he never lives this down, but he told me this on Saturday night. He also fake tanned his legs for the game.
Wow.
Well, they were still burning white, weren't they? You couldn't
exactly.
even tell.
Exactly.
They'd gone from blue to white. That was it.
So I don't know if he was joking, but they still look just as pale as what they were before.
That's amazing.
Breaking news.
Can you do something to him to get him like super dark tan? So this is a bit better, tanning moisturizer, and have like the Ross from Friends, the 8, that he comes out and he's like that. All you can see is his teeth.
Didn't one member of the panel play a test with glittery fake tan?
Yeah, that was a balls up. No, I was a little bit dried out skin, and my then partner said, listen, you know, I need a bit of moisturiser. She said, babe, use some of this. So I was like, sweet, putting it on all over the boat, all over the rig. And I went to bed, and I woke up, and I like went down to breakfast, and I could see a few of the lads like, you're right, Hass. I was like, yeah. And I was like looking at them, and I couldn't understand. No one said anything. But every hour that went on, I got progressively darker till I looked like a Louis Vuitton handbag with a face. And as I got on the bus, we went on the day of the team run against Ireland, and a grand slam decider. We got taken off to this training ground. I've got off the bus, and the lads obviously see me in daylight, and I am brown, sparkling brown. And basically nobody can concentrate on training. Everyone's like, fucking hell, look at the state of Haskell. You fake tanned it. Everyone's got really upset, thinking I did it on purpose, trying to attract attention. And basically, we've obviously gone there and got absolutely pumped. And everyone's blamed the game on it. People's focus wasn't on the game. People doing stupid things. It's like, hold on a minute. There was 12 lads in that room betting on the Cheltenham Cup or whatever it was, or whatever it was, all throughout the whole day. And I've accidentally fake tanned myself, and I've completely disrupted everything. But the game was so bad, the same was so bad, that Steve Thompson was the only person who scored a try. And you know shit's bad when your second row, your hooker is the only bloke who scores. It's a nightmare. Yeah.
I had one of those. I played for the Bar Bars where we played three, and I was rooming with Bolsh, and I played golf at Celtic Manor, and it was baking hot with Rory Lawson, and I got, being a not very well tanning northerner, got burned to a crisp, went back. I was like, Bolsh, please get, for some reason I thought the blokes would just have a normal moisturiser, but it didn't even dawn on me to think that Bolsh would have a tanning one. So anyway, I was like, Bolsh, can you let me, so I'm smashing this stuff. And it was, I only realised when I looked at my hands and I had like two-tone down my fingers, I was like, oh, fuck. And we had to go play Wales, and literally I looked like I had an orange as a head.
A mix of translucent raw red and very mahogany.
Alex, I was going to say quickly, talking about people in the changing rooms, when I was captain at WASC, I had, which was a long time ago, I had Nathan Hughes in the team, and he got really into reading Bible verses and singing. So I was like this. I'd be like, right, lads, get round. And he'd be singing Kumbaya G, you know, a little town of Bethlehem. And I was like, I was trying to give a talk going, right, lads, this is what we're going to focus on today. Defensively, we're going to do this. We've talked about getting off the breakdown. We're going to compete here. Jack Knowles going to do this. This is what we're going to do. And he's like, oh, little. I was like, can you shut the fuck up, please? As he's there holding a Bible, mate, it was the most off-putting thing. He did it all the time. And by the time I said to him, listen, no, I'm all about God, whatever you want to do, but get out of this huddle. I can't deliver a message with the, you know, the choir of Little Town of Bethlehem singing in my head, mate. It was a nightmare. I'd rather have Tim Payne spewing in a bin or Johnny Gray restrapping himself than the Bible verse being sung in my head. I couldn't concentrate. It was a bit like that moment on Sky. I just couldn't think. I was just talking rubbish by the end of it.
Mate, we made a podcast out of that.
Yeah,
good old Nathan Hughes doing great things at Bristol, obviously. We're not doing very well on this chronology. So, bus trip standard. anything interesting about the build-up to it? Any Churchillian words from Baxter? Or was it? I mean, it literally was, you ran out Ashton Gate, empty stadium, let's get the European Heineken Champions Cup final on.
Literally it. Like, the way you're making that sound, it sounds very, very boring of us and pretty low-key, but
you can't really do it the other way.
Now. No, not really.
So what about the game itself? Because I think Rob said afterwards, the least Exeter game you've played in a long old time. I mean, amazing start. Awful. Talk us through the emotional roller coaster of a game as exciting as that was, with so much on the line and just not able to properly get your foot on the ball, so to speak.
Hask could say as well that those games are the most frustrating games ever. I hate the games where, you know, we score, they score, we score, they score, we score, we get 3 points, they get 3 points. It's just you never, ever feel like you're always on edge the whole game. You can't be comfortable. You know, it's always nice when you're 14 points ahead, got that bit of cushion. they were class. Like, their breakdown was class. You know, our clearouts were pretty sloppy. We didn't help ourselves. Tom Francis trying to go for an interception, thinking he was going to run 100 metres length of the pitch in the 70th minute and getting a yellow card. I was just thinking, what? We're going to be known as the bottle jobs for the rest of our lives if we carry on going the way we're going. But no, big Sammy, the smallest player on the pitch, getting that turnover at the end. And then you could tell by the boys' faces, 14 men after Franny got sent off, how much it did mean to us. And, we kind of, like you said, we did just enough. We got those two early tries in the first half. We kind of took the sting away from them. Some of their players are class. Zebo scoring his two tries, like they were class, and they definitely did play better than us. But, there's been times where we've, played better than another team and we've lost. So, a win's a win. We're happy we got the trophy back home. Actually, we don't even know where the trophy is. I think our owner's got it and stole it. It definitely went back on his bus as well.
He's probably earned that, I think. I think he's probably earned it. He's definitely earned it for a few months to sit on his mantelpiece.
Do you talk about the moments in the game with teammates and things? I mean, have you spoken? I was so pleased for Sam Hidalgo Klein because, he burst on the screen, on the scene. He had a hell of a start with Scotland. He sort of bounced around a bit for the last two or three years. And it's just so Exeter to take a guy in who's lost his way a little bit and he ends up producing, the match-winning moment in the Heineken Champions Cup final. I mean, do you guys talk about things like that with a beer post-match? Or is it done and it's just relief?
We only really talk about the funny bits, to be honest. Like the Tom Francis attempt of an interception. Or little things like that. But like you said, I don't know how the coaches do it or what they see in players or, whether it's a gamble or... But 9 times out of 10, they get these players in and they always end up doing something brilliant for us. Hoggy, Johnny Gray, those boys are pretty given. They're good players. But, there's always boys that he takes punts on. Waldron, when he came. Jeff, a lot of boys saying Jeff was getting old, but when he was class for us, Dean Mum was class for us. And, now we've got Sam as well. He's come down here. He's loving it. But again, I think that's just kind of the way we are. Down here, we feel we're out of the way. We're in a bit of a bubble, and every single one of those boys say they love every minute off the field. And I 100% believe that the way you are off field definitely affects the way you are on the field. Because if you enjoy yourself at home, you enjoy yourself away from the club. That makes playing so easy, and that's what the club are very, very good at doing.
Some amazing pictures of Rob Baxter in the last 2 or 3 minutes, particularly actually with that, lost couple of minutes and all that sort of kerfuffle at the end around the timing. I've never seen him look that uncomfortable. Give us a sense of where he was at post-match, because he was pretty emotional for a guy who normally is very, very in the moment and rational. He looked pretty emotional at the end of it all.
Yeah, I think, Rob's someone that always says that us as players have got to show our emotions on and off the field. And I think that's just kind of the way it is. When you can tell how much it means to the coach or how much it means to, all the guys that are trying to put you in that position, it kind of means that little bit more for you as well. Because that's kind of where we feel. It's not really the coaches and the players. It's kind of one big buy-in. Very cliche and very corny, but that's kind of just the way it is with us down here. We are very separate in terms of what we do and what the coaches do. But in terms of these end goals, it's definitely in one direction. But yeah, like the way he was on the field, to have, again, it's not just Rob, but, Tony Rowe as well. He comes down most days into the change rooms. And, how many other owners of rugby teams comes down and chats with the players and, sits on a physio bed beside us when we're getting treatment and stuff. Not many owners or, money men do that. So it kind of just shows that we are in it together and how much it means to us. And like you said, Rob tearing up a bit after the game, especially he did after the first Prem final when we beat Hask as well. You could tell how much it meant for him. it means a lot more for the players then, I think.
It's interesting you mentioned Tony Rowe, because I remember doing I think it was the LV Cup final at Sandy Park. Would that have been 2014? Did you play in that?
No, I didn't, no.
Was that pre-you?
That was our place, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And I think you beat Northampton. And yeah. You'd only been in the Prem for 3 or 4 years at that point. And I remember interviewing Tony Rowe after the game, and he said, next stop, Europe and the Heineken Champions Cup. And I remember we sort of didn't laugh, but we sort of raised an eyebrow in studio and sort of went, steady on, let's just make sure that you can survive in the Premiership for a little bit. And you've won the LV Cup, which is the second tier competition at that point. And bloody hell, if 6 years on, you haven't gone and done it. I mean, do you guys appreciate the story that you've created? Or is that just, it's just not a thing when you're living it and delivering it?
I don't think quite yet. Like I said this a couple of weeks ago to one of our conditioners. I don't think the boys realise how big a Heineken Cup final game is. know, there's many teams that don't ever make it this far. But again, I don't think that was a bad thing for us. It's happened before, our first Prem final against Saris, you know. We definitely realised we're in a final. We're like, oh, shit, no, we're in a final. It took in the end. And look what happened. We got absolutely smoked. But like I said, like trying to pick up a moment during the week, it wasn't like that. It was just one normal week for us. It was the same. And it's kind of the way we are at the club as well, that in terms of the years we've been in the competition and stuff, that you can't really think of it as, oh, we've only been here 10 years and we shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't be achieving this yet, because you definitely won't do it. You know, the weirdest thing I've ever heard is when I first signed for the club, Tony Rowe said in one of our meetings at the start, he said, boys, in 6 years, you know, we're going to be Prem final champions. We're going to win it. And in 7 years, he said, sorry, 7 years, we're going to win the Prem. I was just like, there's no, how, like, where's he plucked 7 years from out of his head? Like, there's no way. I don't understand that at all. And then we actually got to the Prem final in our sixth year and then won it on the seventh year. And I was just like, that's ambitious, but they know what they're doing. They know, like, how to do it. He's got big trust in Rob as well. You know, and whatever the coaches are doing and whoever they're signing, whatever they're doing to the team, you know, it's definitely the right thing.
Have you watched it back through one eye with a kebab and sort of, you know, trying to stay upright, or is that for another day?
I came back on Sunday morning, whatever time it was, and I put a pizza in the oven, forgot about it, and I watched 4 minutes of the game. And I woke up on the sofa in the same position.
In the pizza. That's probably enough, isn't it? I mean, that sort of cements the memory. It's do you want to watch it back? Because a lot of people who sort of go through really, you know, enormous days like that, and they just want to leave it where they leave it. Or can you go through it again?
Yeah, I think I'll watch it back. I like watching, obviously, the good games that we play, the big wins that we play. Me personally, I don't watch the bad games. I don't watch things I don't really enjoy, or I have not enjoyed playing that game, or where we've lost, because I just don't see the point of it. Like, it doesn't make you feel good after. I don't pick up any points from that game of what I should have done or what I shouldn't have done. But yeah, I definitely will watch that game. I think the Prem final we won took me about a couple of months to watch it after, where I was just on the Skybox and I just started watching it.
But yeah, I've never watched it. I was there when I said to Nathan Hughes, please just release that ball, Nathan. We're going to win the game. Oh, no, you haven't. And they've given a penalty. And now we're playing 116 minutes of rugby. And our prop folded up like a deck chair on the line and cost us the game. So that's all I needed to remember.
Still the hardest game I've ever played.
Glad you got over it.
Hey, 116 minutes. Imagine as the back row trying to play 116 minutes of big old dumper, like 120 running around. Mate, it was horrific.
It was ridiculous. And it was like 34 degrees or something, wasn't
I know.
It?
I've got one question for you, because the show before this, when we were talking about the Heineken Champions Cup, and we were saying about Exeter, and we both, Tins and I, backed you guys to win. But I said one of the things I was never quite sure about was the leadership stuff, because you all seem almost to be equals. There doesn't seem to be anyone bigger than anybody else there. I know the off-field and the socials that you encourage people to all toe the party line. There's a few more senior guys, but you're all in it together. In a game like that, where there was a bit tit for tat and you couldn't get a handle on it, who were the people that stood up and spoke, or does everybody have a go at it? Because obviously Joe Simmons was named as captain, but I mean, you know, what's he like, you know, in terms of that leadership aspect?
It's weird, because when Dean Mum was at our place, obviously Dean was our captain. He was the leader. Everyone looked at him. He was the guy that made all decisions. You know, then obviously we had Jeff as well, just after, and Jeff was very much that kind of figurehead. It's weird, because we were all kids then, and the way we look at it now is, it's weird to think that us boys, when we signed, you know, 10 years ago, 9 years ago now, we're kind of the senior lads in the team. And it's weird to think that, because we all still think we're the 21-year-old kids running around that are, you know, just getting our chance of playing in the first team still, which I don't think there's anything wrong with, but in terms of like that one and out leader, you know, we've obviously got Jack Yendall's our club captain. He takes most of our stuff during the week. We've also got then Joe Simmons is, you know, our captain on the field. He's our fly half. He makes our decisions and things like that. But again, he's still very young, but probably leads more in terms of how he plays and what he does on the field. But like, yeah, in terms of like on field decisions, a lot of it's down to Simmo. Sladey is obviously a big leader in the team as well now. And obviously at the end there, when we get to decide whether they kick, whether the posts or corner, Jack Yendall was actually on the field then. So it makes it a bit easier. And probably a bit of a blessing for us at the moment is the fact that we can actually hear Baxter, Ali, Rob Hunter top of the stadium. She just shouted down to us, take the points. I'm on the wing, so I'm looking up at them like, okay.
Yeah.
Because you know Eddie Jones, when I spoke to him and we actually were doing some stuff off the field, he said he felt that what would be quite exciting rugby was a technical area to have a coach to be able to come down to the field and relay messages. Obviously with no crowd, because you know, in like cage fighting, you kind of get the guys by the side. And I never thought that you'd actually ever hear these people. You hear exactly what they tell you to do when you're training. And I know you're partly joking, but have you noticed any difference with that?
Mate, I am partly joking, but I'm partly being serious as well. Like, you can't, obviously everyone's radioed up now and all the coaches are radioed up. And when there are crowds there, you cannot hear a thing. Like, it's you on the field and that's all it is. You can hear each other next to whoever stood next to you, and that's it. But like, obviously me being on the wing, I'm the closest one to them as well. But I can hear all the bench guys. I can hear all the players that have come off. I can hear our water guys, our doctors, our physios. And that's how it actually came about at the end, that we were going to take the points and try and waste a minute on the clock, was the fact that, you know, one of our skills coach was on the side screaming in my ear when I was only a metre away from him, saying, points, take the points, Jack, pass on the messages. And I'm just like, calm down, like, I can hear you, it's fine, you're like right there. But it is weird. And the weirdest thing I'm finding at the moment is the fact you can actually hear the other team as well.
Yeah.
You can hear that. You can hear the boys in the scrum. You can hear, you know, the fly half making the calls and stuff, even though we don't know their calls. It's a bit weird, especially when you know the other player and you're pretty good friends with them. You feel like you just want to have a bit of a conversation with them across the field.
Have you given any out to people opposite you now that you can?
I haven't. I've not really played much this year, to be honest.
That's true.
It's only a couple of the French sides and stuff.
Who's been the noisiest team you've come up against?
I heard it firsthand because I was in the stand watching against Bath. Bath was the one I was desperate to play in the semis, because obviously I was up against boys like Anthony Watson, Jonathan Joseph, and boys like that, and Cochran and Singer, and I could really, really have got stuck into those boys. but that game was very, very noisy. Obviously, the final was very, very noisy. I don't know where the French boys pulled out their horns and stuff, but those horns were going off all game, and it was proper annoying in the end. But that was obviously pretty good. But in terms of like building an atmosphere just with us boys and, you know, the bench boys that are watching their bench, you know, and just like, you know, a couple of the owners up in the box and stuff, in terms of building atmospheres like that, it's still pretty loud. It's still pretty cool to play in as well.
Yeah. I just had a message from Hoggy. He's not happy.
Read it out.
Well, first of all, go on. Well, about my fake tan. That's what he wears. What a wanker. He said, don't have him starting this. This is how rumours start. And then he goes, ask him about wearing a scrum cap at the trophy presentation. Hanging fucker. He had a head tape on, so he had a cut. It was nothing to do with the multi-million pound deal. He gets off the ground, he's got his cap on.
Oh, it's like
when Andy Murray won Wimbledon and the first thing he said is, where's my watch?
Mate, mine wasn't like that. I had my head stitched and put together the doc. Well, I didn't actually have it stitched in the game. I was so desperate to get back on, and Nigel Owens was like, you need to go off and get that stitched up. So I actually went back inside. We put a bit of bandage on it, and I said, look, don't stitch it, we'll stitch it after, and just strap it up, and I put my scrum back on. He strapped my head so tight, I've still got a headache from it. And we won, and then straight away I was like, my head was like this. And all I could think of after was, I actually stopped and turned to Hoggy and took my scrum off. I said, Hoggy, can I go up on the stage looking like this? He was like, mate, put your scrum up back on now. So you know, obviously Red Bull were happy as well, but it was more from me looking back in pictures in a few years time thinking, what am I doing?
And another zero on the contract, I'm sure. What did he say to you? Has he given you? Has he asked for a retraction of your comments, Jack, or is he happy to roll with it?
He said, "You're having it," and I replied to something I can't reply. I can't repeat. And he said, "I thought we were friends."
Oh, he's gone down that road, mate. That's not where you want it.
Emotional.
Terrible tactic, the emotional blackmail one.
There is a real romance between the two of you, though, because there's a lot of photographs of him on your knee and you on his knee. I mean, are you doing your bit for sort of relations north of the border? Where are you at, the two of you, at the moment?
I've got to look after him a little bit. We had to toughen him up a little bit when he came down here. No, I really, really get on Boggy too far. I think he's a good lad. loves the piss as well, which is like you're always going to fit in down at this place.
That's
which is
why good, he, that's why I get on well with him.
Yeah, he drives. And he, to be fair, he's come down and he actually drives it into us sometimes as well. So which is class to see. Honestly, a little bit gutted that he'll be obviously going to camp straight away on the Monday. So you know we've got an all day session planned for the Sunday. So yeah, I'm not too sure where he'll be coming in that. So it'd be quite disappointing if he'd got a shoot off and stuff. But you know, it is what it is. But no, he's been class down here. I've enjoyed playing with him. He's added to the team, which is brilliant as well. And you know, to come down. And I was actually joking with Johnny today as well that we've actually played all the same Heineken Cup games, but he was obviously playing for Glasgow in the pool stages. And then he's come down for us for the quarterfinals, semifinals, and the final, and he's won it. So it's pretty weird to think that. But, you know, those boys have been class, and I've loved them.
But Hoggy should be fine going on the piss on Monday because they let Finn Russell do what he wants. So Hoggy should be absolutely fine to get pissed up. And you just don't have to turn up. Like, you know, like you've got a voluntary session on Monday. At Scotland, you can just get pissed up and then just turn up whenever you want, and they'll just let you back in. Hoggy's too good a player. What was the quote? The superstar. He's the greatest Scottish
ex. He's the captain.
He's the captain. Hey,
yeah, exactly. But he's the captain, mate. Drop Gregor a text and say, look, hopefully we've won the double. Just please, can we give us boys just an extra day? We'll make up for it.
Yeah,
I would. We'll come back up on Monday night.
We'll be happier. So we'll have smiles on faces and we're really energetic.
Yeah, exactly. Too.
There we go.
And they rock up and they're like peeled out of a taxi.
Yeah.
I love three Englishmen sabotaging Scotland's plans for the Six Nations title, yeah. Which they're still on course to win, let's not forget. I do want to clear one other thing up with you, Jack, as well. Have you followed Sladey on Instagram again, or are you still having a bit of an amnesty with that?
No, Zoe had a bit of a go at me. She was like, Jack, right. He's one of your longest friends. Like, you cannot not unfollow him and not follow him back on Instagram. And yeah, he had his little girl as well, Olive. So I was like, do you know what? He's calmed down a bit on the personal trainer side of things as well. And he stopped being a bit cringy. So I followed him back now.
He looked very good on Saturday, though. The hair was just like mathematically put together.
Did you see the post where he had where his dog was just staring at the fence? And as all the dog was literally staring at a fence. And I said to him, what's wrong with your dog? And he came at me or something. And I went, it's a bit of an indictment that the dog would rather stare at the fence than do anything to you or listen to anything you've got to say, honestly. But like, even the dog was getting depression off Slady's chat. I was like, unbelievable.
Him and his dog annoys me. Oh, God. We called the dog Reek.
What? Oh, what?
Yeah.
You quit like, what?
He treats it Reek. Game Reek. Of Thrones. Jumps over.
Ah, yeah, got you.
Bit of a pussy, yeah. him and my dog have a bit of a love-hate relationship as well, so it's quite funny to watch. But he treats it like a baby, like does the dog's hair. I think it was Frank's birthday the other day, and what did he do? Something happened. I think he left us. We were doing something. We were either out for food or something was happening, but he left because it was the dog's birthday, and he had to go home and feed it steak. Something stupid like that. I wasn't even listening because I was like,
is any wonder you lads have won anything with that kind of shit going on?
he's one of our best players.
Mate, with fake tanning legs, dodgy Scottish alcoholics, people with OCD and boring, depressed mental dogs that are treated like kings.
We can make a comeback. I'm telling you.
I'm going to sign for Exeter. I wouldn't get in the team, but I'll have a good go at it. I'll be social secretary.
Amazing. Let's do a bit on the media handbook. Let's test that out. This weekend, are you fit?
Yes.
Good on you.
Yes, I am 100% fit.
Do you know who you're playing? Do you care who you're playing?
We find out tomorrow morning, the first thing, I think. If I'm perfectly honest, obviously, we'd like to play Wasps. We'd like to play either of them, you know, but we'd like to play Wasps because they deserve to be there. You know, they won their semi-final at home. They won it fair and square. They deserve to be in the final. But I would understand that Premier Rugby have got to, you know, fulfil the fixture and put a game on for everyone.
Chapter handbook. Yeah. Yep. This is what you were given this afternoon to say in the event of being asked about who you'd like to play.
Rob didn't actually say a lot to us, Ufe. He's like, look, we play who we play. But the way I look at it is, Wasps deserve to be there. And then if you play a team that have been knocked out before in the semi-final, like, then like, what are we doing? Like, they shouldn't really be there playing it. Wasps should be playing it. But you know, I'm pretty confident Wasps will be able to put a team together and be there to play against us on Saturday.
Is that the rules? Is it whether they can field a team? Because obviously if they have...
I'm not too sure.
If they have, like, because obviously Sale, they got to a point where they had to have no more cases. Is it the fact is that the fact with Wasps? If they have any more cases, they're out, or does it clear it up that if they can still field the team, they can still play, but they can't obviously use the ones that are COVID in isolation?
Well, because they've had 2 weeks off now since their last test, so or wait,
those guys, in days, yeah, those ones so that those tested guys, positive might be out of isolation or whatever.
Yeah, should be all right to play, but I don't know what it's done. I think it's done on numbers. I know like that Sale game, they pretty much said, right, if one more person in the squad gets it then, or has it. But the Sale didn't have enough time to turn it around. They didn't have 10 days, and I think they actually ran out of players in the end. But I think, I'm pretty sure Wasps will, they've got a bigger squad as well. But I'm pretty sure they'll be fine to crack on.
What have you got on then between now and Saturday? Is it another very light week? And I know you're obviously 100% fit to play, but can you play that out a little bit so that yeah, you really get confirmation on Friday?
It really worked well for me last week, if I do it this way.
Just a tiny twinge.
I don't think I could do that 2 weeks in a row. We've got our main training day tomorrow, so I've got to get through that. We've got Thursday's obviously our day off, light little team run again. And then we're straight up the M5 to Twickenham to... staying in the Sion Park to hopefully whoever we're playing get the game done and hopefully come back with another trophy on the bus.
What do you do on Thursday?
Oh, normally I'm a dad. This week I could do anything I want to do.
which is the same as what you do when you've got the kids, except you don't have to argue with your wife. It's basically
I guarantee Thursday's not got a gym session involved in it the last 3 hours.
Definitely not. I'm pretty good. I don't play a lot of PlayStation when they're here. I do spend time with them. So I don't know if you saw, but Sunday morning, 7:30 in the morning, my little one Nori was. She's obsessed with Frozen at the moment. So she's just got the Frozen dress. And I was singing that at 7:30 till about 10 o'clock. Hungover, nice. Couldn't really see straight. Singing that with earrings in and hair, crown, whatever she had me wearing. And I was just thinking, what has happened? 12 hours ago, I was holding the trophy with all the boys. And now I'm stood in my lounge singing Frozen, Let It Go.
Beautiful. You just stick to the original. You haven't rolled on to the second one yet. Don't worry, that's coming too.
Oh, no. We only listened to the two songs, Let It Go and Into the Unknown, and that's it. They're on repeat. If you don't watch the film, it's just the songs.
Tell you what, with you and a tiara and Hoggy's fake tan and Slady's massaging of his dog, whoever you're playing this weekend has got a ready-made team talk right there. Yeah. It's pinned on a notice board.
Just make sure the Wasps boys watch out, all right?
Yeah, exactly.
If you get the double, is there a bit more ink going on to celebrate it or not?
Yeah, I'll have to think of something, won't I?
There's no real estate.
I was just thinking that as well.
I've got my whole back to go, so I'm going to try and plan something to fill that space.
What, I mean, you've got a hell of a session planned. Family, and I love the line about your old man saying, well done, boy, and that's it. I mean, will you get down there and sort of see them and you know, digest it with them, or is that just not really a Noel thing?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'll obviously have my time with the boys and do whatever we get planned for 3 or 4 days after. Get myself sorted, then I reckon I'll go down and, you know, have a bit of family treatment. They'll look after me down there and spend a bit of time with them, because obviously we've got a couple of weeks off then. So obviously if rules still apply, we can still do that. But life's very simple down there, so I go head to the beach a few times, hopefully get in the water. Yeah, and then have a little catch up with those guys.
Just quickly, England as well. I mean, are you booked in post Prem final whenever you've sobered up for work on your show? Can you keep going on it for a bit longer? What's the sort of the story with that and the Autumn Nations Cup?
I'm not too sure at the moment. If I'm perfectly honest, how bruised and swollen it was on Sunday morning after the game, probably 20% alcohol, but probably a high percentage of that from the game. I've done it a lot where I've played with niggles and I've tried to get through it, and it kind of just makes yourself worse and worse and worse. And with how hard England train and how hard the games are and stuff, I probably couldn't train every single day, play every single week on my toe at the moment. It's probably not in a fit state to do that. So I think where I am in my career as well, I want to get that sorted. You know, I struggled a lot with my ankle, World Cup, you know, Six Nations before that as well. So I don't want to be in that position where I'm 2 years down the line and I'm still worrying about my bloody big toe. So I'm in a position where I can just get it fixed now, have a good rehab block, and then, you know, hopefully meet up with them if I get picked for the Six Nations.
If I get picked, you know, if it goes well, if Eddie still fancies that I can do a job. Have you heard from Eddie? Has he flicked you a text and said, look, concentrate on what you've got going on at the moment? It's great to see you.
He texted me after the Toulouse game saying, you're a great game, good game. And instantly I was just like, oh, God. No, he actually texted me saying, good, mate, back, nearly back to your best. And I was like, oh no. I didn't want, I was too scared of detectives that I'll hurt myself again, so I just didn't say anything. I let the physios do it. But now I'm sure we'll catch up in the next couple of weeks.
Good on, yeah. I hope it goes really well. I'm conscious of time, etc. I do want to ask you a couple of things, because last time we spoke to you, I think you just filmed your, and I just, obviously, we like to help people out where we can in terms of endorsements, etc. I think you just filmed your Red Bull thing last time we spoke on a... Yeah. It just come out. I can't remember whether we actually asked you about it. Was it actually a proper day's filming now, or was it just acted? It is a very good piece of content. I will give you that.
It was 2 days filming, and I was very unaware. Obviously, Red Bull being Red Bull, they're, you know, proper extreme, and they love everything 100%. And I was very unaware of what this couple of days would take. You know, I thought it'd be like, you know, do the first bit of the course, say I got it in 30 seconds. Go on to the next bit, you know, get the kicks and get the passes, and then boom, yeah, look, well done, you did it in a minute, and then off you go. Yeah, how wrong I was. I think I did that course over 30, 40 times, and it was worse than a game, I think, to be honest. I was absolutely shattered. First day I had 6 or 7 pints with my mates because it was down in Cornwall. So I actually catched up with them before we, you know, got a bit carried away, but I had a few drinks that night, and I turned up the day after, you know, a bit foggy night at 8 a.m. And then they're like, right, off you go. And I was just like, oh my God, I was absolutely finished. It was our week off and I thought I played a game. So I was very unaware. But once you get into it, and then I failed it a lot of times, it was just that kind of, you know, that adrenaline kicked in, and that competitive, you know, side of me kicked in a little bit. And I was just like, I cannot get off this beach until I've done it. And in the end, the most frustrating bit was the passes. I couldn't even pass the rule straight. And I was killing myself doing that. You know, eventually after 40 takes, I was like, right, that's, I need to do it this time, else I'm going to go home.
It is very good. Have they got any more? I mean, presumably they were very pleased with it. It sort of got really good pickup. Have they got any other exciting bits lined up for you? Anything we can get Hask involved in? I mean, we could give him 2 or 3 months to get through a course like that. Passing in particular.
With his ankles, mate, and his knees, I reckon it would take him about 2 days to actually do the course.
If it involves cash, mate, he'll go through the pain.
Cut the feet off if it involves cash.
I was about to say, yeah, you know, a cash is king, so I'm prepared to put the body on the line for that. Well, the knees are fine, Chief.
Well, you can't see on that T-shirt, it says, how is worker if the cash is right?
Yeah.
That's what it says on his T-shirt. You just can't see that.
That's exactly what it says.
Have you got any good little bits with them lined up?
That's what I'm actually really gutted about, is not going into camp. Have you seen the
Red Bull Game Centre?
Oh,
stuff?
Yeah, I saw that on the O2 Inside the Line today.
How sick is that?
Who's king of that space in the camp?
Probably Genji at the moment. Like, I've not been there, but Genji...
Mako loves it, doesn't he?
Mako will be on FIFA. When Dickie meets up with them in next week, he'll be in there probably more times than he'll be training. But like, I was, when they told me about that, you know, a couple of months back, they're like, obviously it's going to be in proper lockdown, and we'll try and make it pretty exciting for you boys. And they were telling me about the stuff they're going to put in there, and it looks unreal. So I'm glad the boys are getting good use out of that.
Good on them. There's some good content coming out of the England camp at the moment, actually. It's really nice to see Owen in his environment. Everyone sort of speaks so highly of him within that environment. You don't get to see too much of that. Actually, I was going to give a nod as well. We were talking about this earlier, the fact that O2 have signed on again. And at a point where the game at the moment is lurching from, well, crisis to crisis, the fact that they've gone again for 5 more years. I think they're doing the men and the women, which is really good to see. The game needs a bit of good news at the moment. Good on you, Jack. It's always very, very nice to catch up. You're living the dream. Are you conscious of living the dream right now?
I'll be living the dream when I move back down to Cornwall. Yeah. I've spent too long in Devon now. People are start calling me Devonian, and my old man's not happy about it. So I need a bit of Cornish air again. But like you said, we're incredibly lucky to be what we're doing now. And, you know, there are tough times, extremely tough times. And I went through one of them a couple of weeks ago thinking I was missing all these big games. But, you know, we're very lucky to be doing what we're doing. And, hopefully there's a few more good years in me if I get myself sorted and get myself all fixed and put back together.
There was a nice picture, talking of Kerno, there was a nice picture of you and Luke, actually. I mean, it's, you know... brothers from the same sort kind of thing.
He came up crying to me after the game, was just like, Jack, we've got to get a picture together of the trophy. And I was just like, oh, Dickie, come on, mate.
Funny that you mentioned he was crying. He was crying because I thought he was going to be really emotional in his post-match interview. And he was like so deadpan. Yeah, it was good. Always really worked hard.
Yeah, he's got to concentrate because of his tooth.
What's wrong with his tooth?
That's him thinking about talking. he had it taken out or something. He had it taken out before the World Cup because the nerve died in it. And he's done half a job. Yeah, there you go.
There you are. Who'd have thought Luke Cannon was a brother from another mother?
He was doing an interview like that, so he concentrates on talking opposed to what he's actually going to say because he's worried about doing his little lisp and stuff.
Oh, got you. He was going to come and join you for a bit of a chat, but he said he's not feeling very well. Is that the after effects of the weekend, or is that just under the
Mate,
weather?
I've just walked past his house, and he's on his PlayStation. So
that's what it is, isn't it?
Give him a slap. Yeah.
He's flat out gaming.
There was a chance to get back to number one in the world, so he wasn't going to miss it.
that old headache suddenly come on, and a bit of flu, whatever it might be. Thank you very much indeed for coming over a chat with us. And many, many congratulations on a brilliant story last weekend. And many, many good lucks for what's to come as well. Will you hang around for a bit of a Q&A, or are you done? Completely understand if you want to
go. I can hang around.
Okay, no, let's do it. We'll wrap up and then we'll get to some of the questions that we've got from our... we've got one really good one. I just want to ask you this one here. Do you think there'll ever be an Amazon-style fly-on-the-wall documentary following the Chiefs? Would it be good or bad for the club?
Oh God!
I dread to think how much they'd have to fill enough content for an hour's show.
I think it'd be very, very interesting. I think a lot of people would be shocked, but at the same time, I don't think it would be allowed to happen.
Really? There'd be a lot of redacted material. The screen would just go black for sort of 2 to 3 minutes as you all got on the bus, and then as you all got off it.
That would be pretty. That would be pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I think something like that with rugby would be amazing. If you think of like Hard Knocks and stuff, I think it'd be great for the sport in terms of how level it is and how down to earth, especially if you go somewhere like Exeter, how down to earth it is, how much all the players know people who work at the stadiums and how much they interact like that. What you talked about with Tony and how he gets involved, I think it would be outstanding to have something like that. But again, it's whether anyone's going to take that chance.
Yeah. I do think a lot of people, like, I get the question all the time. Like, I don't think people understand like just how much we do train as well. Still, I think a lot of people are still under the impression that, you know, we turn up on a Tuesday night, we have a bit of a pass around, and then we turn up on a Thursday.
10 minutes ago, you said you did absolutely nothing all week, stuck your boots on, and the European Cup final.
European Champions Cup.
Yeah,
but obviously there's a lot of rehab in that as well. There's a lot of swimming.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff like that. But the amount of times I hear people like, "What's your actual training week?" And I'm like, "Oh no, we're in from 8 till 4:30 Monday to Wednesday," and they're like, "Well, what do you do? Like, what can you possibly do for 6 hours a day in the club?" And we're like, "Well, there's quite a lot you still do. To like, you don't just rock up on Saturday. As much as I wish you did just rock up on the Saturday and play." But there's a few bits that you need to tick off during the week. So it would be quite interesting to watch. I'd certainly like to watch it from another team's point of view as well.
Next week would be quite good to have a camera around. We'll get Haskin there in the old camcorder again. Gets into places. Well,
that's the social bit.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll definitely go off-piste. Haskin a camera.
I just quickly want to ask this one, because this, Haskin, you could go anywhere with this. What is the best or worst purchase an academy player or young England star has ever made? Asks Josh. Anyone ever gone completely off piste?
Well, I mean, Sink's put a shower in his wardrobe. That won his first paycheck. So he turned his. He basically had this. So Sink's had this great idea where he had this house, right? He bought this house, and he was basically couldn't be bothered to ever go to the toilet properly. So he used to open the French windows and wee into the garden. So then he wanted to install the urinal in the living room until somebody said, "You can't have your urinal on the wall of the living room." And then upstairs, he wanted to rent his gaff out. So he had he basically took a cupboard and put a shower in it, but didn't do it properly. Just got someone to put a shower tray in, so all the damp seeping through the floor, linking through the ceiling. It basically looked, according to good sources, to what a whorehouse might be like. but obviously, I'm very unfamiliar with that. But, you know, where you go in there, get service, quick shower in a horrible little cupboard set up, steam dripping off the walls, soggy towels and mildew. So I think that was pretty good. My first purchase, actually, was I bought...
Allegedly.
I bought a pair of night vision goggles for two grand. I was like, got really into my shooting, and I was like, I tell you what I need, night vision. Right, and I went and got these just like night.
Of course, they were for shooting.
Yeah, yeah. It's a kind of shooting. And basically, yeah. Unfortunately, it sat in a cupboard until I just had to call. You know, My wife was like, what are these? It's like, yeah, it's a night vision goggles set. And obviously, what the army has is in comparison to what the consumer can buy. I mean, it was basically like someone put a torch with a green filter on it. I couldn't see anything with it. So it was the worst purchase. And obviously, as soon as I bought it, it lost about £2,000 worth of value. Is Alex frozen, is he?
Yeah, he is frozen.
Oh, well, should I've got
Have you got the questions?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I can. Is Jack pleased not to be playing Sarries at the weekend, or would he prefer to be facing them again?
we were actually talking about this the other day. Like, that was one of the main reasons why, like, we were desperate to win this final at the weekend, because, you know, the amount of times we got to a final and lost to Sarries, you know, we've been absolutely gutted each time. It would be very nice to finally beat Sarries in a final at Twickenham. But, you know, I'm pretty confident that could possibly happen again one day. So, you know, hopefully in a few years' time, when they're back up from the Menai down at Penzance doing the hard yards.
are you boys loving it? Like, did you reckon Tony Rowe's got the trophy because he's been driving past Allianz Park with the trophy going like that, knocking on all the lads' doors?
Nah, not quite. Yeah, not quite yet. But I think it would be pretty cool to play those boys in the final at Twickenham again.
I've got a question here now. Obviously, Red Bull, you know, I'm a fan. You're obviously a fan. Jack, do you actually drink Red Bull? And if so, how many do you have per day?
I don't drink coffee at all. I haven't drunk coffee in about 6 or 7 years. So I literally do live off Red Bull. You know, there are some pretty dark, hard times in the submarine at the club. So the boys are smashing 6-7 coffees in a day, which I just do not understand how they're doing that. But I'll probably have about a can a day, maybe a couple on a match day as well.
Do you go for the sugar-free option or full fat?
Of course, sugar-free has. What she's rigged now, aren't we?
the thing is, but now you know, now you're in the hyperbaric chamber, you're not focused so much on sculpting the rig, which has obviously been a massive part of you. Are you still hammering as many weights as you were beforehand to keep the size or what?
Mate, our conditioners and our physios gave me an absolute bollocking after lockdown.
What, for doing too much?
Yeah, for one, doing too much. I came back in good shape and they were obviously really happy about that. But you know what I'm going to say, but I was starting to occlude my legs as well. You're only meant to do that when you're coming back from injury.
Yeah, well, George, I'll tell you, so I'll explain. So occlusion to those people who are listening is where you basically put a cuff or a band at the top of your leg, and basically it restricts the blood flow. So you work and your muscle fatigues quicker, and the idea is to develop growth. But you would do it if you had an injury, for example, and you broke your leg and all the muscle wasted, you would occlude it. Unless you're Jack Knoll, jacked off your tits and Red Bull. occluding your biceps and your legs, I bet, weren't you? Admit it now.
Biceps, no, but legs, 100%. I was doing five sets of 20 squats.
Occluded, I love that.
Up way too high. And I was like, you know what, I'm getting good gains here. Like, I've got my VMOs back. Like, the conditioners are happy that I'm in good shape. 2 weeks later, I had two hammy tears in the exact position that my occlusion was.
I know. Obviously, Exeter are famous kind of for their off-field initiations and stuff. I remember there's a great story about Jeff Parling. You know, he obviously Leicester was a different mentality. And I mean, do you want to tell that story about what happened with Jeff? He got involved in a social, because there's a story about the best initiation. Perhaps you want to tell the Jeff story and then tell us about that.
Is it the Jeff one with Sladey?
Yeah. Didn't like someone throw a drink on he just bang Sladey out or something along that? I can't remember what it was. Something along those lines.
Let's just say, for the sake of this Zoom call, that Sladey threw a drink on him. And Jeff was like, there was no way I'm having this academy lad do this. So imagine like a big change room, the benches all around the side, and we're all stood up on the side watching. Sladey's throwing his drink over him. And it was like a sketch of cat and mouse of those two running around the table in the middle. And all the boys are chucking drinks on Jeff still. And it was absolutely brilliant. And then Jeff realised, obviously, he's got a bit of a bigger reach than Sladey. Caught him at the table, and it just gave him a right jab across the table.
But wasn't that was almost a big outcry, wasn't it? I remember that at the time you were in England camp with me, and there was a few questions over, obviously, that wasn't the Exeter thing to have that done. You know, was that right?
Oh, Jeff knew he was in the wrong. I think within a day we had a song made up of him, and at every chance we could sing a song about Jeff. So And that was literally within the first couple of days. So you can imagine what Parlin was like. He's come down to Exeter. He's, you know, he's an old figurehead. He's been at Leicester Tigers and Newcastle for years. And he's proper old school. And he's like, there's no way I'm taking shit from this team straight away. But I think he soon learned and bought into the ways of how we are down there. And, you know, in the end, they're just a top bloke. And in the end, he absolutely loved it. And you know, maybe that's just the way he thought it should have been or he thought it would be. But, you know, he got it very, very wrong at the start.
Is that your best initiation story? Have you got something a bit more exciting as well along those lines? Because I know you guys get up to some crazy stuff. A combination of Cornwall and Devon.
I don't even think this was an initiation. I think this was just one of our first socials.
Do you do the initiations? Because obviously the Gloucester boys is shave your head or drink a gallon of milk. Do you have something like that down your way?
We don't have a traditional, like same thing that happens every year. Players have just got to go through certain stages of the social, including a lot of alcohol. But you know, there's always a theme, a different sort of theme we do. But in terms of details and stuff like that, I couldn't possibly go into much further because right. I'd have my pants down tomorrow at training.
Right, snitches get
snitches.
You've gone into Hass mode. You're saving it for your book, aren't you?
Okay, we must leave it there because we're going to go into a Q&A on the other side of this with our Zoomers, and let's keep some material for them. Thank you to all those of you who've joined us via YouTube and via our podcast this week. We love having you on board and we love you subscribing and leaving a review where perhaps you might feel comfortable doing so. Thank you for that. Two bits to bring you up to speed with. The thing we really want from you this week, and we would love you to buy into it, is to send us the heroes of the clubs that you play for, support and enjoy. We really, really, really want to find those barmen and women, those bus drivers, the kit men, the physios, the referees who step in at the last minute, the club men, the coaches, the minis, organisers, etc. Those people, if you had to organise one person at your club, we would love you to nominate them and we would love you to send a little story around them, their details, etc., etc., to either our socials, at Good Bad Rugby, pop us a DM through that, or you can email us as well. And the email address is info@goodbadrugby.com. We've got a little plan brewing. It is, I hope, going to be quite good fun. It's going to be quite inspiring, I think, at times where club rugby, certainly at grassroots level, up and down the country, needs a bit of love and attention. And we're going to go to work on it. So the Saturday squad is coming. Please do get involved by nominating the people that you believe deserve a bit of a hug and a bit of a pick-me-up at this time. We'll look forward to hearing some of the best stories that you send in and picking through them in due course.
I'll nominate my first coach, Nicky Brooks. He's the guy that, you know, got me involved from the age of six. You know, I went through all the way through until I was 16, until I went to Redruth. But yeah, he was the guy that, you know, taught me to love the game and got me into it.
Good on you. So that's point one. As I said as well, do subscribe where you do your YouTubing and your podcasting as well. The more the merrier. Get involved in our Facebook group as well, at Good Bad Rugby on the socials. And we'll look forward to picking up the conversation there. But that is it for this week. Thank you to Jack. Well done to Heineken Champions Cup winner in 2020, Mr. Jack Noll. Good luck in the Prem final this weekend as well. Well done, Hask. Well done, Tins. Good to see you both. Don't forget, actually, if you missed it, you can catch up with all the winners from the 2020 RPA Awards. We did a bonus show last week. It was a lot of fun, actually, and great to speak to some superstars of the game at the moment. Head to our YouTube or podcast channels for that. We're going to be back next week. We're off, as I said, for a Q&A with our Zoom watchers. In the meantime, it's over to Rob Brydon to finish us for this week. We'll be seeing you in 7 days' time. Look after yourselves. Be nice to each other. Thank you for watching and listening.
Thank you so much for listening to The Good, The Bad and The Rugby. It can't have been easy.